Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to preach from Luke chapter 10, verse 29 to 37. Luke chapter 10, verses 29 to 37. We're going to be concentrating on this statement Jesus Christ made to a lawyer. He said, "Go and do thou likewise." Go and do thou likewise. Let's read the passage first and then we will discuss it. A lawyer has approached Jesus Christ asking about inheriting eternal life. And Jesus tells him the first two commandments. He asks him about the first two commandments. The man quotes them. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now the Lord answers and says, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, now we begin reading with verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, and this is the title of our text, Go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. You see, the story of the Good Samaritan was told to a lawyer when the lawyer asked Jesus Christ a question to clarify the second commandment. The lawyer said, Who is my neighbor? Now he asked the question to justify himself. And so Jesus, in order to answer his question, told him the story that you and I have just read. And then he told him to go and do thou likewise. You know, even though the Good Samaritan is a reference to Jesus Christ, he sets an example for us in this story. He told the lawyer to go and do thou likewise. So we, that's you and me, we should go and do likewise also. Now here's what we should do based upon what you've read in the story. We should recognize divine appointments. We should recognize divine appointments. Back here when we were reading about the Samaritan in verse 33, the Bible says a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now notice, he came where he was as he journeyed. In other words, it was no accident that the Samaritan happened along this way. You say, well, I mean, the Samaritan had business and happened to be along that way because he was going to take care of business. He wasn't out on that road looking for a wounded man. Well, that's true, but the truth is, it was not an accident that the Samaritan happened along this way. What happened is the fellow needed help, and the Samaritan was a merciful man who could help him, and God knew that. I mean, the Samaritan had the bandages. The Bible says he bound up his wounds. He had the oil and he had the wine. He poured in oil and wine on the wounds. He had the beast where he could give this man a ride. He had the money to pay the innkeeper to restore this man's health. He had everything. Now, those things he had, the wine and the oil and the bandages and the beast and all that, the money, those weren't put there so the Samaritan could help a man along the way. He was giving of things that he owned, that he had for himself. Okay, but he had the things that he needed. Likewise, you and I, we have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit, which is like that oil. We have the blood of Jesus Christ, which is like that wine. And we have money. And like the beast, we can be used by the Lord to bear another person's burdens. I mean, when you look at this story and you consider that Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan, well, then the beast that he owns is like you and me. Okay? We were a beast before we got saved, and now we are the Lord's beast. We're still sinners, but we can be used by God in ministering to other people. And so we have, listen, we have what it takes. So when you happen along the path of a lost person, when I happen along the path of a lost person, we need to be aware that the Lord may have appointed the meeting of us for the benefit of the lost soul. I'll give you a good example. The other day we were flying to Idaho, and because of mechanical failures at our airport here, we were delayed leaving, missed our flight out of Houston, and had to go standby on another flight, which was, I mean, loaded and ready to go. We ran to the next gate and boarded as the last two passengers on the plane. There were two empty seats, and we were given those seats, but we had to separate. I was sitting in one place, my wife was sitting in another place on the plane, and as I sat down and took my seat, I thought to myself, you know, I'm here, perhaps, as a divine appointment. Now, the guy to my left, you're going to get stuck in a middle seat, right? Okay, so I'm in the middle seat. The guy to my left is, I called him seat and a half. He should have paid for half of my seat. He was a big fella. And he also had something going on, like an allergy or something. And so he coughed sporadically, continuously through the flight. And was, you know, watching a movie and all that other kind of stuff. He was not interested in a visit. But the person sitting next to me was Mayan, came off the Yucatan Peninsula. So at some point, we struck up a conversation and talked pretty much the rest of the flight. And you know what this was a person who had some exposure to the gospel, but not completely. And so the Lord used that as a divine appointment, I believe, to give me the opportunity to help her more with with what she had already learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a divine appointment. Now, truly, having missed the flight because of an hour and a half delay out of here, I could have been bugged out and, you know, pressed out and put on the earphones and, you know, keep everybody else out and got the guy next to me coughing and could be irritated about that since he's sitting on half of my seat as well as his. I mean, he'd already raised up the handrail by the time I got there, so we really are close. And I'm not trying to say that I'm some sort of a superhuman, super Christian, because I didn't think of all those things. It's just, it dawned on me when we were going to miss that flight that there may be a reason for this that the Lord can use, okay? That's all. And if you'll look at the situations in your own life and think, you know, there may be a reason that the Lord can use this, then we might actually be more aware of divine appointments rather than looking at things that are really problematic, okay? I mean, don't think that we have problems. This poor guy that's left on the side of the road half dead certainly has more trouble than you do if you on your journey happen to meet him, okay? He's in worse shape than you're in. Nevertheless, we should recognize divine appointments. Secondly, we should have compassion on them. And that's what this guy did. The Lord said, go thou and do likewise, or go and do thou likewise. Well, what did he do? First of all, he came where he was, and secondly, he had compassion on him. We need to have more compassion on the lost. We're too critical. I mean, I know how I am. I see people and I'm thinking, well, you know, that poor guy, how'd he get himself in that shape? The Samaritan could have easily criticized this guy for the condition he was in. He could have said, you know, man, the guy should have known better than to be taking this road. Thieves have come and beaten him up and, you know, should have been traveling with a companion. Whatever, you know, whatever normal criticism he could have given. You know, so often we're shocked by the condition in which we find the lost. And rather than have compassion, we say things like, well, you reap what you sow, you know. You know how we are. It's just we're just people. And the trouble is, we're more critical than we are compassionate. And when a man gets beat up along the way of life like this guy did, we need to stop and say, man, this is a bad situation for this poor fellow. Maybe there's something I can do to help, see? But we know as soon as we have compassion on somebody that it's going to require more of us. And sometimes we'd rather be like this priest and this Levite, like, I'm too busy, I'm just going to keep on going, or I see the condition he's in, but boy, his case is beyond me, I'm just going to leave. The Samaritan, no, compassion overrode any reason this man might have had for not wanting to help. It's important to note that the man was a Samaritan because the man on the side of the road is undoubtedly a Jew. The priest and the Levite didn't leave him there because he was not a Jew. They left him there because they didn't want to be bothered with him. That's the way religion often is. The Samaritan really has no dealings with the Jew, and yet he's going to help this guy. And likewise, we need to recognize sometimes you come across somebody and they're not your station in life, maybe not your desire to want to help, but compassion can override all of that, okay? So we should recognize divine appointments. We should have compassion on them. And then the third thing we ought to do, if we're going to do like the Samaritan did, we ought to adjust our plans to go to them. Now notice, he came where he was, right? And he had compassion on him. And then the Bible says, and he went to him. In other words, when he came where he was, he happened along, he intersected. You know, I'm over here, I see the man over there in the ditch that's in trouble. He had compassion on him, so he turns and he goes to him now. He went to him, the Bible said. We ought to adjust our plans to go to them. Listen, this Samaritan was on his own journey. It doesn't say what he was doing, but he obviously had things that he was trying to get done, because once he leaves the man at the innkeeper, he goes. He leaves. He departs. And then he said, when I come again, I will repay thee. In other words, I'm going down this way to take care of something, and then I'm going to come back this way to get back to my home. All right, now, this man on the side of the road then has definitely interrupted the Samaritan's plans, and yet he stopped and changed his immediate plans to help this guy. And, you know, you and I need to be flexible enough in our plans to help the lost whose needs may sidetrack our plans for a portion of our day. And I'm the kind of person who likes to schedule up my day, and then I like to stick to the schedule. But the truth of the matter is, there are times when you can't stick to the schedule. There are times when you've got to stop what you're doing and be used of God to help somebody. After all, we are here to minister to the lost. And if you have to go out of your way to give a guy a tract, to give a guy a Bible, to give a guy some scripture, to give a guy some help who's lost, who's been beat up by sin, he may not be visibly messed up like this guy was, but spiritually is, and he needs the Bible, he needs the Holy Spirit, he needs the blood of Christ, he needs money, he needs the Lord, he needs somebody to bear his burden, well then we've got to stop long enough to be able to help these folks. I'll tell you something else that we learn when we consider the example of the Good Samaritan. We learn this, we should take care of them. Now the Bible says he bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. We should take care of them. You know, with all this that the Samaritan did, it's often not enough to just give someone the gospel. Often you need to help them as they get through the trouble they are in when you find them. There are people who have marital problems. There are people who have job-related problems. There are people who have drug problems. There are people who have financial problems, and you're going to meet them when you're trying to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes you can't just give them a good word and go. Sometimes you've got to help them. Sometimes you've got to help them find a job. Sometimes you've got to give them a ride. I know there have been numerous times in the ministry where we've met somebody and they didn't have transportation, and for a while had to go pick them up and bring them to church and take them home and so forth in order to be able to help them out, give them a meal. And that's what this gospel thing is all about. We like to absolve ourselves sometimes of the responsibility by just giving somebody a tract and moving on, saying, well, I gave them the gospel. Let me say that giving people tracts is a good thing. I'm not against that at all. I do it. But sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes there should be more. Like this guy, we got to stop and take care of them. And that means getting involved and seeing where they are and breaking off your plans and finding time to do something where there's a need. You see, the gospel sometimes entails more than just preaching and tracting and giving Bibles. Sometimes you got to stop and go to their house and minister to them, give them a ride, and get them started. Notice something else that we learn by going and doing likewise when we consider the Good Samaritan. Not only should we recognize divine appointments and have compassion on them and adjust our plans to go to them and take care of them, but also we ought to be willing to give for them. The Bible says here he took out 2 pence and then went on to say that the innkeeper was to take care of him. And then he said, you know, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, 2 pence doesn't sound like much, 2 pennies. But when you read Matthew chapter 20, you're going to find out that a penny is a day's wage. So 2 pence amounts to 2 days' wages. That was quite an expenditure to help this fellow out. And I don't know how much money the Samaritan was carrying for the things that he wanted to do, but he just took 2 days' wage and left him with an innkeeper to make sure this guy, because why this guy didn't have anything left, he was robbed. But you know something? Jesus gave his life for us. So if Jesus gave his life, we can certainly give some of our money and some of our time to help a person out. You know, with the Good Samaritan, the expenditure wasn't just a one-shot deal. He said to the innkeeper, here's 2 pence, or tuppence, or however you want to say it, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee, meaning I may be bearing more responsibility here, and I'm not going to make you responsible for something that I brought to you. This innkeeper didn't go out and find this wounded man. The Samaritan did, so he's not expecting this innkeeper to take care of him. He says, I'll do it. Here's what I think it's going to cost, but if it takes more than that, you know, for you to house him and get him back up on his feet, when I come back, I'll take care of it. You know, the gospel involves more than preaching, and the gospel involves time, it involves money, it involves care, it involves making some expenditures. Just sometimes you have to do it. We've got a good missionary down in Guatemala, and one of the things that is a continual prayer on his prayer letter is that he'll have enough benevolence money in his support to be able to take care of some humanitarian and medical needs of people that live down in that area. Now, it's very impoverished where he lives, and there are people who have medical problems, and they need to get to the clinic, they need to get to the doctor in order to be able to get some help for their medical problems, and they don't have the money. Now, when this fellow started working down there, he met the doctor who really didn't want anything to do with the missionary because he didn't want anything to do with the missionary's gospel. But when he noticed this missionary was taking care of the medical needs of some of these folks, he'd bring them to the doc and he'd say, now, doc, this person has complaining of an injury in the leg, complaining of an injury in the elbow, complaining of a fever, whatever. Would you please take care of this person and then tell me what it's going to cost and I will pay for it? Well, the doctor was so moved by what this missionary does that he told the missionary, he said, now listen, I'll tell you what, if you bring these patients to me and you're willing to pay like that, I will not charge you more than what it costs me in order to be able to help them. He said, I see that you are really here for our people and you're not just concerned about building up a name for yourself with the gospel. And that really struck that doctor. Now, I believe that the young man is going to be given an opportunity to actually lead that doctor to the Lord one of these days, because the doctor sees that what he has is real. Why? He's willing to give for the people to whom he's ministering. And we need to be like that. It's sometimes going to cost you, and it's listen, if it costs Jesus his life, it's going to cost you something. And you ought to be willing, and I ought to be willing, to give for the sake of the people we're trying to help. Now, I realize that we have a lot of people that if you had all the money in the country and you gave to them, there would be nothing left, and they'd still be coming to you for more, okay? And I realize there's a difference between somebody who is like this guy that was left on the side of the road because he'd been robbed, and a bum or a beggar who will never get it straight because he's a bottomless pit for expending money on mainly drugs and alcohol. So there's a difference. And I realize these guys that are on drugs and alcohol need help, but they need help. They don't need money so they can buy more drugs and alcohol, okay? Here's something else we should learn from the Good Samaritan. When Jesus says to us, go and do thou likewise, we ought to leave them in good hands. Leave them in good hands. The Bible says that the Good Samaritan brought this man that got beat up by the thieves to an inn, and then he said unto the innkeeper, to the host, take care of him. The inn represents a good church, and the host represents a good pastor. Now, hopefully, you are in a good church with a good pastor that would be willing to lead a soul to Christ and help you and be a help to the person you led to the Lord Jesus Christ so that this person could grow. You should take folks you lead to the Lord to your church where they can be cared for, where they can heal up from sin, and where they can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to leave them in good hands. So often people go out and they go soul winning and they come back and they say, well, bless God, I led, you know, 5 souls to Jesus Christ today. Fine. Go back and make sure they are carried by you into the church where they can get rooted and grounded in the faith. You see, so often what happens is we go and we kind of give them a glancing blow and a God bless you and a little pat on the head and a little pat on the back, and then we leave. And they're not in good hands. They're in the devil's hands. And so often people may make a profession of faith, but they never get to the church. They never get to a good pastor. And so they kind of like die on the vine if they ever got saved in the first place. So the Good Samaritan, when the Lord says, go and do thou likewise, he's telling you and he's telling me, we need to follow example of what this guy did. And in order to do that, to summarize, we need to first of all recognize divine appointments. This Samaritan happened upon a man who had a need, and so will you. You do nearly every day. And that's not an accident. God's in there. He's trying to get you to see the person's need, and it's oftentimes hard to see the need of their soul. I mean, if they were physically wounded, you could see it easier than spiritually wounded. Second thing is, you should have compassion on them. Without compassion, it's going to be real hard to muster up enough courage and desire to want to go help somebody with a spiritual need. But when you have compassion on them, you realize, you know what, that's where I was one day. We also should adjust our plans to go to them. Don't schedule yourself so tightly every day that you don't have time to minister to anybody. It may very well be that your secretary has a great spiritual need. It very well may be that your coworker has a great spiritual need today. It may very well be that one of your employees does, or that your boss does, or that a neighbor does, or your friend does, and you've got to adjust your plans to go to them and help them when they have this need. And then we should take care of them. Be willing to do more than just preach. Bind up their wounds. Bring them to an end. Take care of them. Be willing to give for them. So this thing may cost you a lot of time, may cost you a lot of money, but that may be what's necessary to get this fellow back up on his feet, okay? And then leave them in good hands. Make sure to get them into a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching, Bible-living church where people care and will bring this person in and try to grow them up and make them feel welcome and give them things. I'm talking about encouragement. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about love that would help this person to really, you know, get out of the trouble they've been in and get into something that's far better in Jesus Christ. Now, this is how, what you've seen here in the story of the Good Samaritan, this is how you demonstrate love for your neighbor. This is how you show mercy. You see, when the story was over and the Lord then asked the lawyer, he said, which now these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He said, that is the lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Well, that's how you demonstrate mercy. You do it. It takes, you know, you don't just say, Oh, God bless you, brother. I sure feel bad for you. Do something. That's why the Lord said, Go and do thou likewise. You see, it's more than what you say. It's what you do. And you've got to demonstrate it. You got to demonstrate that love, and you got to demonstrate that mercy so they can see it. And that's going to be awful hard for you to do if you don't ever make an attempt to help somebody that has a need, a spiritual need, and sometimes a humanitarian need that might be required to meet that spiritual need. And the Good Samaritan is the perfect example of what you need to do in order to be able to fulfill what the Lord said when he said, Go and do thou likewise. Well, it's really something. I tell you, honestly, there are many more souls that need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, before the Lord returns. And we have got to keep our mind on the lost and be looking for and recognizing the divine appointments when they come. That way we can do something about it. Not be afraid to get involved in the life and in the misery of a person who's been dealt a bad blow by the world, by the sin, by the devil in this life. You know, if you're not currently in a church, you're not in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching, Bible-living type church where these folks can get some help and you need to be, you know, I encourage you. Prayerfully consider, come to Bible Believers Baptist Church. If you say, well, I don't know, just have some, you know, just rather go where God wants you to go. We're not trying to sell our church as the place you need to be. What we're trying to point out is you got to have a place, an inn, where you can take the lost, okay? And so what you want to make sure is that you're in a good church where you can bring them to somebody who's going to take care of them. And we pray that you will. I'll tell you, I love having our church, and I love seeing the lost get saved here, and I love to see them grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.